ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Every fortnight, our resident psychologist, Christine Bagley-Jones, joins me for a chat that we call Head and Heart. We usually dissect something in the zeitgeist, but today I'd like to try something different. I'm handing the topic over to you, our audience. Listener Sarah has sent us a dilemma she's facing and she'd like Christine's take. Christine, are you ready to hear Sarah's story today?
I'm excited, Tegan.
I'm excited too. Let's hear Sarah's dilemma.
Hi, Christine. This is a bit of a funny one. 7 years ago, I broke up with my then partner, Mike. We'd been together for 4 years, but he didn't want to get married or have children, and I did, and I still do. At the time, we were in our mid-20s, and there were a couple of other things wrong with the relationship, but this was the key issue. And I'm now in my early 30s. I've had a few short-term relationships since, but I'm still looking for Mr. Right. I am, though, still close mates with Mike's best mate, Charlie. And over the weekend, Charlie and I caught up, and he told me Mike is now engaged to the woman he met after we broke up. I felt this overwhelming rush of anger and I just burst into tears. Like, I don't understand why, because I'm not carrying a torch for Mike and I haven't had feelings for him in years, but the thought of him marrying someone else while I'm still single just makes me furious. What is wrong with me?
Oh, this is a thorny one, hey, and I feel like it's quite relatable.
Completely. And first up, I feel really sorry for Sarah that she was just going for an innocent coffee catch up and suddenly she gets this unexpected intel, which I'm sure would have knocked her sideways.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ever predict when you're going to get that, any kind of blindsiding information. Like, they often do happen over a coffee catch up, but you don't know it that morning when you're getting dressed and going out to meet your mate.
And it could throw you for days, if not weeks, as it brings up all this old stuff that you probably haven't visited for such a long time.
Yeah, it's so what I'm hearing in Sarah's voice is sort of a grief over the loss of a future that you hoped for and then anger that someone else is now living that life that you'd imagined.
Yeah, I imagine there'd be a cocktail of emotions that would come up from that. The first thing would be that frustration of, but hang on a second, you didn't want this. And now you're living it with someone else. So there'd be that cognitive dissonance that comes with information that doesn't add up and her having to catch up. Oh, okay, right, now you want it, but just not with me. And now what does that mean?
Yeah, you said you didn't want this, but what you really mean is you didn't want me.
And it might not be as simple as that. And that's where I don't want Sarah just to jump to that conclusion, because there's a whole myriad of factors that make someone decide on these really big life ticket items. So it might not be as simple as, oh, I now have met someone I do want to do this with. I just didn't want to do it with you. It still could be a timing thing, even though he's with the person that he was with straight after their breakup. He may have only just recently arrived at the decision to have a family because the timing wasn't right when they were together. So it's very important for people not to quickly jump to that conclusion that, oh, okay, it's not that he didn't want kids, he just didn't want them with me, because it usually isn't that obvious.
Is a story like this something that you see much in your own practice?
Yeah, I see it frequently. I see that and lots of other similar stories of the human condition and the complexity of relationships and how deeply it penetrates when we invest in something so valuable as a potential life partner. And then when it falls apart, it brings up not just the loss, but it brings up issues around identity. And we get that sort of identity loss, I guess, because it's like, I was this person, we were heading on this path. I did believe for a period of time we were going to have that family. And then when that breaks down, they often come to counselling because they're like, well, who am I now in this story? And also, I'm really feeling these really unusual, strong feelings that need to be understood.
What is it where, so this person, Sarah says they broke up 7 years ago. Sounds like she's living a great life. She sounds happy. But hearing that news transports you back in time to that moment and how you felt then. What's going on there?
Well, it is that identity residue. It's like, I really was with that person. I invested. There's so much change that happened in my life. And I think she mentioned she was in her early 20s. So it's a really big opportunity for change and milestones. And that's where we start fantasizing about our future. So all of that gets bundled up and it becomes so impactful. As we get older, these disappointments don't feel necessarily as strong, but, you know, we have all these romantic notions and we're watching everybody else, you know, on a similar path as well. So we can't help but look sideways and see how we're tracking.
So we've sort of unpacked a little bit about what's happening. I guess the next question is like, what do you do about it? How do you process this and make peace with it?
I think it's really important that she takes some time out to try to figure out what's behind some of the top note feelings. That initial feeling of frustration and anger and disappointment is relevant, but what's it saying about where she's at and what she needs? Because we don't want her to just spiral into this feeling of maybe regret, like, oh, if I'd stuck it out, maybe it would have worked out, or what's wrong with me, or how come he's forging ahead having the life I wanted but with someone else. So take the time to understand what's behind these initial feelings, what it means for you, and what you can proactively do about it. What's within your sphere of influence?
How useful is it to Instagram stalk his new fiancé asking for a friend?
Not useful at all.
Not even a little bit.
It's Tegan, I can see the temptation, and God knows I would be leaning into it with my little fingers at night. But the reality is, it is perfectly normal and you should have all these feelings guilt-free. But you sure as heck don't act on some of these feelings of, you know, revenge or wanting to send off, well, you don't know what he's really like, or unless there's something serious involved in the relationship where it was unsafe and it needs to be flagged, you got to let that ship sail and not over-identify with it anymore and do the work on yourself to be relieved of it finally, and maybe double down on what your goals are rather than lingering in his world and his life, because that's a different narrative now. It's not part of yours. You need to detach from it completely.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor chatting with Christine Bagley-Jones, a psychologist based here in Brisbane, for our regular segment Head and Heart. And today we have Sarah, who's sent us a voice note about a breakup that she had a long time ago, but it's all come back up to the surface for her because she's found out that this guy who she broke up with 7 years ago, who said he didn't believe in marriage, is now engaged to someone else. One person says maybe Mike has realised as he's matured that he made a mistake and doesn't want to lose someone again. That's a very generous way of interpreting this person on the text line. What do you reckon, Christine?
Oh, I love that. And I do believe in that sentiment. I think that we learn through our experiences. And Mike might have just been fresh to the idea. And when Sarah flagged it maybe multiple times in their relationship, he just decided, carte blanche, I'm too young, or this isn't what I want. And then things can happen. All sorts of other, it's not a linear experience. You get all these other happenings during your life that can then impact your decision making. And it would be a mistake for Sarah to just think that it was something directly related to their relationship or herself.
In situations like these, how useful is it to have like a mantra, like a concept that you can kind of like pull your brain back to when you start getting a bit crazy, especially at Insta at 11 p.m., for example?
Tegan, I'm a huge fan of mantras because I do believe that the brain is available to be programmed. Obviously, we get conditioned by our environment and what we listen to. So why not script healthy ideas? So for Sarah, I would be walking around multiple times a day to say that, you know, I deserve love. I deserve to be happy. Someone else's story isn't a reflection of my value or worth. And I will get what I desire in my own good time.
I'm glad that your story is part of mine. Christine, thank you as always for joining me today.
Thank you, Tegan.
Christine Bagley-Jones is our resident psychologist. She joins me fortnightly for a segment that we call Head and Heart. And if you have a dilemma that you reckon Christine would be able to give some good advice on, which is any dilemma really, because she's great, send me a text 0418 226 576 and the Life Matters producers will sort you out and how you can put your question to Christine. We spoke this morning about making house buying a fairer process, and there's been a huge response to it. Basically, the story here is last week there was news that under a new plan, real estate agents in Victoria will have to publish a property's reserve price at least 7 days before it goes to auction. And there was also an announcement a week earlier that the New South Wales government is considering more transparent property price guides and fines for real estate agents who are caught underquoting. The question is, will these reforms create a fairer system? Will they do anything to address Australia's housing crisis? Well, Richard Dennis, who's co-CEO of the Australian Institute, was not convinced.
Oh, they might make things a little bit fairer, but to be crystal clear, they're not going to do anything to make houses more affordable. And that's the problem here. So again, to be clear, I think that either obliging sellers to organise inspections, as we have to here in the ACT, or having some transparency about reserves, that's fine. That's good. Yes, you know, that'll be slightly better for buyers and some sellers won't like it. But we have to be very careful here. There's a lot of policy as performance art occurring. Oh, I mean this. Politicians are trying to do anything they can to shift attention away from what the government is doing, which is nothing, to actually drive down house prices and put the blame onto anyone else they can. Local government, state government, property developers. There's this enormous blame shift going on because what no one wants to say is that most people in Australia making policy about housing don't want house prices to fall. Let me just say that again and choose my words carefully here. The Prime Minister doesn't want house prices to fall because most of Australians are already bought a house and are paying it off or have paid it off. So far more Australians want to see house prices go up than down. But obviously a lot of young people wish they'd come down. And in order to avoid answering the simple question, do you want house prices to go up or down, we get this performance art of government saying, oh, let's make this small change to how auctions work. Oh, let's blame councils for not approving medium density residential redevelopments fast enough. Like, there's all of these kind of tiny partial solutions that sound good, and I'm not actually opposed to them. But to be crystal clear, they're not actually going to lead to house prices coming down. And unless house prices come down a lot, young people working as nurses, working as teachers, working in childcare simply will never afford to buy a house in Australia.
That's economist Richard Dennis, who's a co-CEO of the Australia Institute, talking to me earlier this morning about what we can do to make buying a house fairer. And I really value your own experiences that you've shared with me on the text line today. One person says, I'm 65, not working, and live in Canberra. I'd like to downsize and live closer to my pregnant daughter in Wollongong. However, the prices are huge and my own home is worth less, even with double glazing, solar, and a 950 square metre block. When I find a cheaper place, I will still have to pay stamp duty and moving costs. I'm doubting whether I can afford to move now and I'm heartbroken. There's no incentive for people to downsize and have more housing on the market for young families. Another says, I think we have short memories sometimes. Someone working in jobs like childcare wasn't usually in a position to buy a house in the past either. Many low-paid jobs didn't pay enough to buy, but there were a lot more rental properties available. Landlords are demonised, but without property investors, there are no rentals. Well, Richard Dennis covered that point as well in the full story that you can listen to if you go back and listen to Life Matters on the ABC Listen app. How many times can say listen? It's also where you can listen to a different story that we did today about the quality of rentals that are out there, especially for older people. Go to the ABC Listen app, find Life Matters, and make sure you hit follow so that you never miss an installment of Life Matters. And we are just doubling down on the property stories at the moment. Next week, we're talking housing and design with Kevin McLeod from Grand Designs and mid-century design maven Tim Ross. I'm going to be talking about the building that moved you, how shows like Grand Designs shape our expectation of what a good home should look like, and yes, how Australia should tackle its housing crisis. So make sure you come back here on Wednesday next week with Grand Design's own Kevin McLeod in Tim Ross with me.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.